Hello, everyone. In today's episode, we have another Q&A covering what if I get too bulky and what does full body training really mean?
Please enjoy.
Welcome to the Perfect Workout Podcast, where fitness meets simplicity. I'm Kyle Recchia, CEO of the Perfect Workout. I'm joined by Jim Keane, our director of training. We hope you enjoy today's episode.
Welcome back, everybody.
We did it again.
Yeah. Today's going to be another Q&A. We got a few topics here that are common. Thanks, everybody, for putting your questions in the comments and replying to the emails. Keep them coming. This is good stuff. And sometimes we take it for granted. It's something that we just don't think people are thinking about because we've already had the question and we've answered it.
Right.
And yet, of course, we haven't answered it for everybody. So we're going to do some more of that. So the first one we have today, it really just covers this topic of I don't really want to strength train with the most potent stimulus because I'm afraid I'll get too bulky.
Mm.
So hypertrophy, you know, genetics, like what can we say about this whole conversation?
It's like a small child being scared of the boogeyman or like a monster under the bed or in the closet. And it turns out this is just something about which you do not need to be worried. And I'll give an example. The people best suited to get big, to gain muscle, you'd have to say it would be young men with high levels of testosterone. They're still growing. They have high levels of testosterone. They're eating a bunch of protein. They're doing these things. They're 18, 19, 20, 21, up to 25, 28 maybe. That's like prime age for growing. Now, it's so difficult to grow muscle, to have muscle hypertrophy, that there is an industry that earns billions of dollars per year specifically targeting this demographic because they can't gain muscle as well as they would like.
Mm-hmm.
So what are the odds you, a 57-year-old woman, that you're going to gain so much muscle that it'll be unseemly? That it's very low, right? It's not, these guys can't even gain muscle. So what do you think you're going to be doing? A 71-year-old man afraid of getting too big, or even a 30-year-old woman afraid of looking like the bodybuilders that she sees on the internet. So there's two ways to go about it. One, that won't happen to you. And to the women listening, you have, on average, about 1/10 of the circulating testosterone of a man. And again, these men can't gain muscle to their liking. So what are the odds that you will all of a sudden blow up? Now, if you do, and you find yourself looking in the mirror one day and you have too much muscle, all you have to do to completely reverse the problem is cut it out for about 2 weeks. Stop strength training. I guarantee you'll be right back where you were, because it goes away so fast, because the body won't build and maintain muscle unless it needs to. And that's what the workouts are about. So for those worried about the common thing is, I don't ever want to look like that. And the answer is, don't worry, you won't.
Yeah.
Because that physique that you're talking about, you don't want to look like, it's a percent of a percent of a percent of the people. What you're looking at is a genetic outlier who also does certain supplements and then trains in a certain way. So many stars have to align to even approach what that person is that you don't want to look like, that you don't need to worry even a little bit about someday waking up with giant muscles everywhere. Oh no. And you would just stop training for 10 to 14 days and you would instantly lose the muscles and life would be great. So not something you need to be worried about.
It reminds me of a prior episode. We did some Q&As and you talked about sort of the swimmers and the unnatural selection.
Right.
There's a whole genetic component here.
Yeah.
And a lot of people that look that way, they want to look that way. Not only do they have the disposition, but they kept going with those mechanisms,
right,
to really sort of optimize that. But I myself, I've been training for a long time. You have trained thousands of people, have never, and I mean this in a really just honest way, no cheekiness here. Like you, I've never run across somebody, I've run across plenty of people that have said that, I don't want to get too bulky.
Right.
My wife has said, I don't want to do this and get too bulky. I've never run across somebody that has strength trained to their max, maximized their protein, maximized their health and body composition, and then said, now I don't like that I'm too big or too bulky.
It just doesn't happen quickly
mm-hmm.
either. You won't be surprised waking right up one day and having too much muscle. It won't sneak up on you. And the other thing, like I've had people say, well, I don't want to get bulky. And I would say, well, strength training doesn't make women bulky. Cupcakes make women bulky.
Mm.
Like it's not an issue of too much muscle. That's not going to be the reason that you're busting out of your clothes and your pants don't fit right. And it's such a slow process that it's silly to even worry about it. But at the same time, I understand, because you look at the Instagram people or the magazine covers and you think that's way more common than it is. You don't understand how it's 1 in 100 million people can look like that. So you don't understand how rare it is, which is why you have a misguided notion, because that's what you see all the time, because those genetic outliers, those genetic royalty are plucked from the gene pool and put up on magazine covers and social media and plastered everywhere. So you think, every town must have someone like that, mm-hmm. at least two or three. Not the case at all. These are genetic mutants, literally mutants, that have the ability to look like that. And even among those, not all of them want to, so they don't work out. That's all.
Right. Yeah, so word of wisdom actually to the other cohort here, and I'm included in this, you know, somebody that wants to look bigger and bulkier, and they're really focused on doing that. Back in the day, it was like, hey, I'm in my bulking phase.
Right.
And so not only are you lifting really heavy and you're lifting really often, but you're eating a ton of food. Right. A ridiculous amount of food, and I've been
just to try
too.
To gain some muscle. Yeah.
And so you start to get bigger, and you feel like, wow, look, it's working. The scale's going up. I look bulkier, and you are bulking. And it goes back to what you said earlier. I've had those moments. I go in and I do the DEXA scan. I do my prism scan,
yeah.
And I've gained the weight, and I've gained the bulk, and it's all fat.
Right, you're not bulking, you're fatting.
Yeah, you're getting more fat. So a word of wisdom here, there are some very careful formulas that you should pay attention to, some systems you should set up. If you are wanting to bulk, having the right amount of calories, yes, it is a calorie surplus, but it's not a ridiculous surplus. And yes, those calories have to be made up mostly of a certain macro like protein and then the right balance, other macros, etc. So you can't also just consume in bulk, because you'll end up with a result that you're not wanting either, which is I'm now fatter and I'm not bigger because I have bigger muscles.
Right. Right. And to those, like if you're a woman and you're watching this and you're saying, that's me. I don't want to get big and bulky from this strength training. I know I need to for my bone density and for tendons and ligaments and all the good things you know about strength training, but I don't want to look like those women. You know, those women, the big muscular look like that. And if you don't want to look like that, just let me reassure you again, look how much thought and attention and research and effort goes into helping men gain muscle. That's how difficult it is. And that's for men. So it's not something that's going to just happen to you one day. It's not something you won't see coming from a mile away. And it's not something that can't be instantly reversed very easily within a matter of days.
Cool. Okay, the next question here. I've been strength training at the Perfect Workout for a while. I really like it, but I want to make sure that I'm doing a full body workout. And this comes up every once in a while. And I think it's because it just gets back to sort of the traditional mindset around exercise. If I'm exercising properly, because when I've spoken with these members, they understand that they're doing leg exercises and they understand that they're doing upper body exercises, which would be full body. But we get back into that trap of a traditional mindset on strength training, which is I should have tons of different types of exercises, not just volume in general, like 20 different types of exercises or 20 exercises, but different types of exercises to make sure I'm doing a full body exercise, which would include core, stabilizer muscles, or this and this and that. And so the question comes up, should I be doing anything else for a full body? And before I just answer, no, you're doing full body. You know, we want to make sure we go a little bit deeper here, so it's not like just take our word for it. So maybe you can just touch on a little bit some of the stuff you've talked about in the past, how this is full body.
So by definition, if we talk to you at the end of the workout and we say, we run down the checklist. Did you work your pectorals? Yep. Did you work your biceps and triceps? Yep. Did you work your shoulders?
Uh-huh.
What about your back? Yeah. Lats, rhomboids, the whole thing. Was your core involved in anything? Your abs? Oh, yeah. It was involved in the pull down and chest press to stabilize. It was involved in these other things. Okay. Now, what about your legs? And you go through the whole body, you answer the checklist. If it's all checked off, then you have performed a full body workout. A lot of times what people think is that they need all the muscles of the body to be engaged within one movement pattern. Mm-hmm. Doing burpees or jumping jacks or running in place or lunges with your arms up or push-ups even, like this type of thing. And the mistake that's being made is the sacrifice of quality for quantity. If I do burpees and jumping jacks and push-ups, yes, a larger group of muscle has been stimulated, but the stimulation has been subpar. The stimulation hasn't been as good as it could have been had I just had a little bit of forethought about how I'm going to stimulate. So, each muscle gets worked in burpees or jumping jacks or push-ups. But not every muscle's movement pattern that's part of that is its function. So a better way would be to first find a muscle, figure out what its full function is, and then make a movement that adds resistance to that function. Mm-hmm. And you go around the body and you do that. If you do a larger movement, you have less resistance because it's like body weight-ish. You have lower resistance, and not every muscle group within that movement is performing its full range of motion and its intended function. So you have a lesser stimulus because you have lesser mechanical loading, you have a limited range of motion, and while it may be stimulating for the heart and lungs because there is an oxygen debt that's built up, you're leaving so much on the table. So in an attempt to do the full body all at once workout, each individual muscle receives a lesser stimulus, and as a result, you experience a lesser adaptation in the weeks and months that follow. So a better scenario is where let's identify those muscles, find their primary functions, add resistance to the performance of that function, and hit the whole body from the beginning to the end of the workout. Mm-hmm. So that at the end of the workout, you have a better result than had you just done these full body movements over and over again for the session time. So I think that is that's part of the difference that people are noticing.
I think you're right. And I think on the other side of that, it's the sort of the antithesis of that is somebody that's spending hours in the gym doing only single joint, you know, left calf, right calf, bicep, right bicep, et cetera. And so what you just said there sort of paradoxically applies at the proof workout because we're doing these big compound movements to muscle failure, and you're recruiting all of those muscles that are involved with that. There are studios that actually just do a leg press, a chest press, and a compound row, for example.
Right.
Because you're incorporating all these extra elements. And yes, of course, we go deeper. We do have some single joint movements, et cetera. But when you're really recruiting the fibers of these big compound movements enough that you then fatigue those and get into absolute muscle failure, you don't, A, have to go do a whole bunch of these full body sort of extreme things, and B, you don't have to spend hours doing all single joint movements. You are doing absolutely a full body exercise when you're training with this kind of intensity to failure. You're doing a full body exercise without sacrificing, like you said, that sort of quality piece, because you're doing a whole bunch of jumping jacks or a whole bunch of burpees or whatever the case may be.
Well, and also a lot of people, when you bring up like the bro split, mm-hmm. like Monday, obviously, International Chest Day, and then Tuesdays like biceps and back, and Wednesday is shoulder and whatever the split is, a lot of people think that is necessary. And then all it takes, again, the one black swan that disproves the entire idea that only white swans exist. You look at like high level gymnasts and you look at their biceps, like the dudes, their biceps and their triceps. And these dudes haven't done one bicep curl like in their life. They're doing chin-ups, they're doing dips, they're doing muscle-ups. In other words, large compound movements.
Mm-hmm.
And their biceps are giant, and their triceps. They build this incredible physique that anybody would want based exclusively off large compound movements. So that's what we're doing in the studio, where we're doing the chest press, pull down, row, these things that the idea is you can stimulate those smaller muscle groups in the context of the larger thing, but you don't take it too far. Mm-hmm. You don't want to put the entire body doing it with low amounts of weight and a lot of extraneous movement. Now you're going too far in the other direction. So we don't do that, like the boot camp style stuff. And then we don't do the bro split. It's like this cool middle ground where we can get everything the bro split accomplishes and everything the full body boot camp workout accomplishes, but we can load the boot camp stuff with meaningful resistance, and we can spread out the stimulus and not have it be so concentrated like the bro split is. So it's a good middle ground.
Cool. Well, let's wrap up this Q&A with kind of pointing back to another episode. We did an episode on sort of graduating, you know, from strength training. And this kind of brings the point back that if you really want to make sure you're getting a full body workout and you're stimulating all the muscle groups that you really want to, you know, stimulate, you don't necessarily have to move on from this to something that's much more time, much more labor intensive. You can keep doing this. It's accomplishing the goal that you have. And that's going to allow you to, and free up your time to do all the other things you enjoy doing in life.
Right.
The recreational things, the, you know, downhill skiing, whatever it is. So,
right.
Cool. Great questions. Awesome stuff.
Good questions. Thank you very much.
Keep them coming.
Yeah.
All right, Jim. See you soon.
Next time.
Thanks for tuning in to the Perfect Workout Podcast. We hope you found today's episode inspiring and actionable. If you're ready to take the next step in your fitness journey, visit us at theperfectworkout.com for more resources or follow us on Facebook, Instagram, or YouTube. Don't forget to subscribe, leave a review, and share this episode with someone who could benefit. Together, let's make fitness simple, empowering, and a part of life well lived. See you next time.